All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. We've got some fun things to talk about, a lot of updates, a lot of news, and some fun stories. So let's get into it. Alright everybody, well, you can probably tell from the title of this episode, it is day 52, but if you are a first-time listener, you might be wondering, day 52 of what, dude, being a total loser? Day 52 of being a chode? No, day 52 of being exactly the opposite of that, a sober man, a man taking a stand against self-brutality. Day 52 of being my liver's hero. That's right, friends. Today is, as of this recording, day 52. Why did I say it so high? As of this recording, it's day 52. And there's also a lot of fun things to get into besides that, but I did just want to kick off the episode similar to the previous one, which I believe is called day 23, something like that. Where, you know, of course, that was like a debut sort of like admission of, being an alcoholic, wanting to stop all that and work on my life and make it better. And so you can check out, I wanted to kick things off saying if you've never heard the show before, I don't, you know, this is all a new thing for me, but I do think it's always fun and healthy to talk about. I'll just knock this section out at the start. But for anyone, searching for help or you know someone who needs help, there is a link in the show notes for the Alcoholics Anonymous European sort of department. There's free sessions on like every single hour around the clock all around the world. So don't wait. Go get the help you need. And with that aside, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on. If the last episode was called Day 23 and today's episode is Day 52, life does come at you fast. So there's a few things I also part of the information, but also I still need to plug a bit of other stuff, which is cologne. Cologne, cologne, cologne. You guys are going to be having a comedy festival. And your boy, me, Herr Prinz, is performing. I am performing at the Nightwash Club in Cologne as part of the Cologne Comedy Festival 2026 on October 23rd. The link to get your tickets is in the show notes. Do not miss your spot. I am performing at the Nightwash Club in Cologne at 8 o'clock. The ticket link is in the show notes. Other noted comedians will be performing as well, like Simon Pierce, a fellow beloved as if I'm beloved. He is a beloved comedian and actor right here in Munich. He's going to be performing the night before. I'm just looking through the list here to see if there's a lot of performances. Looking to see if there's people I recognize. I mean, there's like these huge XXL comedy night things with all these names I don't know. But you guys might know Germans, like Ozan Yaren and Bastian Bielendorfer and Simon Stäblein and Thorsten Sträter and Jerry, I'm guessing Jerry Visan and Bjorn von Morgenstern. Bjorn von Morgenstern, Pam Penko, Anna Lucia, Ellie Liz at the Lanxess Arena. So those are probably some very famous people. They're doing a double show also the night before, but I know Simon Pierce, so go see him. I don't know the big dogs here, but if they're funny, you know, well, let's do your thing. But I would suggest 22nd Simon Pierce, 23rd Jordan Prince. Both performances are at the Nightwash Club. Then, if you've never seen me do stand-up and you want to get a little taste for it, also in the show notes, basically everything you'd ever want in the whole wide world is in the show notes, okay? Also, you can watch my previous stand-up specials on my YouTube. They are up there in full length, high quality, very high quality filmed, edited. It's a proper show. It's all put together. You can check those out. Those links are in the show notes too. If you have not already, before they are gone, I do believe we are in the last little stretch here of having them to offer. But if you have not gotten your bottle of Jordan Prince Ausfahrt to Hell hot sauce. The link, guess where? You'll never guess, is in the show notes. Heat Supply is a fantastic partner, and I respect them so much. I admire them. And I just love that whenever I order my new sauces, because I go through them like crazy, but whenever I do get my new rounds of sauces, I love just being able to go in the little notes at the checkout and go, and why don't you toss a few bottles of my sauce in there? Why don't you sneak a few bottles of your boy's sauce in that box? Ain't nobody looking. Nobody's gonna know. It's just our little secret. And then I go to the Ausfahrt to Hell. Original Jordan Prince hot sauce in partnership with Heat Supply. So, really crazy things have been going on. I want to shout out a longtime friend in real life and of the show, Benjamin Hofmeister, and Gloria. They are a wonderful couple and old friends of mine who have a new baby. So congratulations to Ben and Gloria. I don't know if they'll have a chance to listen to this episode because their little Carla Matilda was born, let me check here, 24th of July. So they are smack dab in the thick of it. They're like, as of this recording, I think like 12 days. Oh yeah, 11 days into being parents. And, you know, that's probably enough private information to have shared already. But yeah, I'm really happy for them. So congratulations, Papa Hoff. And I don't know if Gloria took Ben's last name, but yeah, Papa and Mama Hoff, congratulations on little Carla. And it seems like, you know, it's an old cliche, but basically once you get, I wouldn't even say 30 anymore. I do think that age gap has shifted upwards. But I think when you get past, let's say, 34, everyone, like, it has a kid. It's really crazy. And the divide between the friends of yours, the friend hangs between people who do and do not have kids is staggering. You pick up on the difference pretty like immediately in behaviors and choices and like schedules. And you hear such a distinct exhaustion in parents' voices, especially like in the first, well, I was gonna say in the first 5 years, but I think it just, the exhaustion format just changes, right? I mean, you know, you'll have the first newborn adrenaline exhaustion, very little sleep, but you're kind of in a high, and then you have the, you know, the terrible twos and the something's, like, you know, toddler age is more like physically dying, dragging your body across gravel, tired all the time, and annoyed, and it's the lesson learning and the boundary building era, you know. And then it starts to shift into like, oh my gosh, they're getting into like little adults, and it's probably more concerns over safety and them, you know, having a lot more agency and fighting back on things. Then God forbid they have to have puberty. Why can't everyone just be a little Catholic choir boy and just everyone just be neutered and not have to think about it? Why can't everyone just be, what do you call those? A eunuch. Yeah, everyone should just be a eunuch. But then I wouldn't be here and you couldn't be entertained by a mediocre white man. And that, we simply can't have that. But yeah, I think once you hit like 34, everyone seems to have kids. And the friends that don't, also those behaviors shift. I feel like it's uncommon that the friends in the 35 to 42 age range that, you know, again, this is not a judgment on people's choices. This is simply an observation about the fact that that age range without children, you know, whether or not it's by choice or not, that you do see like hobbies and interests being picked up that sort of take up that time that would be dedicated to, you know, raising children. Like you see people suddenly getting like two cats instead, you know, like, oh, I wanted to give it that voice. I don't know. I was going to say went to like the shelter, but I don't really know if they do that here. Probably. I don't know. I got a puppy once here, and it was the most expensive thing I've ever done in my entire life. But you see people like suddenly they, you know, went to a place where they can buy a pet and they're like, I got six. I'm a little cat mama now and I've made individual Instagrams for all of them. I hand knitted them a winter cap. And oh, and then they, you know, give them personalities like that's little Tito's, you know, this he never wants to leave that sofa. Oh, he's such a lazy little kitty, such a lazy little couch potato. Aren't you Tito's? Oh, Tito's, don't touch him. You'll get a disease now. Or they do that, or they, you know, pick up hobbies like I'm into bows and arrows now. That's right. This is my pet Rufus. He's a hawk. You just see guys who get those thick, full arm length leather, like raven or hawk gloves. They're like, would you like to see him eat a Pringle? Watch this. Rufus! Wait for it. You see him over there on the mountaintop? Here he comes. Delightful. Oh, you only have the sour cream and onion Pringles. He's a chili cheese guy, just like me. Isn't that right, Rufus? Ka-ching, ka-ching. And his beak is like made of metal. Or yeah, you get the guys who are like, I bought a snake. His name's Toby. You want to see me feed him? He likes the rats alive. Or they get like an ant farm. It's always the guys who are like, it's always people who buy ant farms and act like God. And then they polish rocks. I'm just going to be a little adventurer and watch my ants build a colony under sand. In between lobbies of Fortnite, I'm going to have an ant farm. That one's name is Larry. He's naughty. He always tries to escape.
But I never let him. He'll never escape.
Yeah, it's always people who buy snakes and stuff, you know? That also sounds bad. Some people just get into hobbies and, you know, they get into skill sets suddenly, like the bow and arrow joke, or, you know, you also see like not crazy things, but you'll just notice a change, if I'm making sense there. Like, it's not as if people who don't have kids at that age range all go crazy, but you do see them pick up more interests or hobbies or things that aren't, that are new, that just take up more time, more responsibility, more, they need more dedication to it. Oh, I don't know why I was going to name someone in this hypothetical Tad, but like, yeah, Tad's swimming a lot these days. Loves making those laps, old Tad. But yeah, it's an interesting difference, but just like everybody just seems to, you know, pick up something, or you just don't have any time because they've had children. So it's an interesting thing with the age gaps there. And I have seen that develop, and it's just an interesting observation overall. On a different note completely, so this is the world's worst segue here, but we must move on. I am a little bit, just an incy-bincy little tiny little bit now in a movie. I remember when I was
on the lower levels like you guys. You know, you just got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're going to have to put your chin up, okay? Keep trucking, you know, keep the path ahead, moving just one step at a time. Get up, you just rolling up that hill, chief. Yeah, I remember the old days, you know, waiting tables and, putting dishes away for coin. But not now. Now I'm kind of, sort of, in a little movie.
Did I mention that I worked on an Oscar-nominated movie? Did I mention that before? Oops. Me mentioning that is like people who went to Harvard. It's like you kind of, they just don't not mention it. Oh, you liked Disclosure Day? That's interesting. Did you know that I worked on an Oscar-nominated movie once?
Oh, that does, I am making fun of having worked on an Oscar-nominated movie, and it's like one of my best friends who was actually Oscar-nominated. And I want to just quickly, before I move on to what I'm about to talk about, I do want to shout out to Moritz as well, Moritz Binder, because
it's his movie that I was making fun of myself for. But also, he had a birthday in that gap between the last episode and this one. So, once again, happy, you know, birthday, Moritz. Hope it was a nice birthday. And as a gift, you know, his and mine, like, our favorite sort of cinema hero, action hero, is Indiana Jones. He's the biggest, Moritz is the biggest Harrison Ford fan. I didn't know they made Harrison Ford fans like this. I love this guy. I love that he's obsessed with Harrison Ford. He's made me more obsessed with Harrison Ford as time has gone on. And I just thought it would be a nice gift for his birthday if I drew him a picture of Indiana Jones. So I've been doing a lot more drawing. I mentioned that in the previous episode. And I'm really glad to be getting back into it. I've been drawing actors. You know, I drew like the Pulp Fiction movie cover with Uma Thurman. I tried, you know, my attempt at John Malkovich. My favorite ones have been like ballet dancers, like just getting all the little textures and muscles. But I found a really cool picture of the classic Raiders of the Lost Ark cover where he has the whip behind his back and he's, you know, like in the middle of one of those like, yeah, moments. And drew it for him, and I still have it. I haven't seen him since he's had a birthday. I was in France with my brother, which also is a topic I'm just going to jot down, because I almost would have done this whole episode and not mentioned that I went to France. Oh, and the incident in Italy. Yeah, that's going to be a fun story. Okay, let me just make that note, and we will get back to the movie. So shout out to Moritz, and I'll get you the picture of Indiana Jones very soon. Now, with that out of the way, I would like to officially announce, because now I legally can, I made a little oopsie on Instagram the other day and maybe made a post, maybe naming the movie when I shouldn't have done that, and then had producers come up to me and tell me that I shouldn't have done that, and then, thankfully, it disappeared before I was really in any kind of trouble at all, and I didn't have to delete anything, but then they were still like, maybe you shouldn't do that next time. But now I can say it, because the press release is officially out. I was in a movie, and it's not just any movie, ladies and gentlemen. It is the debut feature film written by Ify. That's right. It is a wonderfully written rom-com, and quotemeter.de, quote meter, this media site, says it like this. ZDF, which again, for the non-German or non-Germany based listeners, ZDF is kind of like one of the main networks, you know, like the States has like ABC, CBS, and NBC. The ZDF is kind of like that. And so it's a feature film, it's a rom-com, and it's for television. And it's Ify's first like greenlit feature. It's a really cool big step in her career, and it's a great movie. I'm so glad that I got to sort of see it develop over time and occasionally toss in like opinions or little jokes here and there. I feel very, you know, connected to this movie, and it is still currently filming, and I got to be have a small role in it. This is what the website Quotemeter says. ZDF is filming the romantic comedy Not Your Daddy. It's called Not Your Daddy. Antonia Bill, I met her. She's the lead, plays this character, Clara, and I think it's just a perfect fit. She's a wonderful, wonderfully talented woman, and she really looks, in my head, like the Clara character. Like, she looks, in real life, how the character always looked in my head. And Pascal, forgive me, Pascal, if I'm saying your last name wrong, Houdus? He plays the love interest, Dan, sort of an enemies to lovers tale. And he also looks just like how I imagined Dan. They are in front of the camera for a romantic comedy about a fateful sperm donation. So here's what the press release says. What begins as a carefully planned path to having a child quickly spirals into a whirlwind of emotions for Clara. Clara's the lead, that's played by Antonia. After finally becoming pregnant with the help of a sperm donation, it's a translated site, so I'm also trying to say it, you know, the correctly. After finally becoming pregnant with the help of a sperm donation, she discovers that her self-absorbed colleague, Daniel, is the biological father of her child. This unusual premise forms the basis of the new ZDF Sunday afternoon comedy, Not Your Daddy. It says working title here. They better not change that. That's been there from day one. I love that title. It's currently being filmed in Munich until mid-August. Antonia Bill plays Clara, while Pascal portrays her colleague Daniel. Both work at a real estate agency and are competing for the business of the eccentric client Ingrid Bausch, played by Jutta Speidel, which I found out very late into this process. She's a famous actress. She plays, an eccentric client, which kind of brings the two into, they're enemies, and then they kind of get forced to work together on this thing. Caught between professional rivalry and the surprising revelations about the sperm donation, Clara is forced to question what family truly means and whether life can even be planned. The ensemble also includes Thomas Leubel, Lilith Hesle, and our boy Simon Pierce. I don't know why I'm doing that, but it does sound exciting. Simon Pierce. He's also in this. Irina Korbanova, Daniel Friedrich, Jakob Schreier. He's a good actor. Caroline Hartmann, Amanda DeGloria, Anton Fatoni Schneider. That's right. Very famous rapper and lead of his own Netflix original series. Fatoni is in the show. Hans Stadelbauer and Sarah Camp. Katarina Bischoff, a friend of ours, directs from a screenplay by Effie Prince. Not Your Daddy is a commissioned product of, or production of, CDF. The film is produced by Construction Film Production. Producers are Veronica Ferris. That's a big name. For those who know, you know. Elena Jelinek and Julia Rappold. Jennifer Drake is a junior producer, and Leah Begg is the commissioning editor at ZDF. Big names on this. You know, Fatoni, Veronica Ferris, Jutta Speidel. And yeah, it's cool because, you know, it's connected to a bigger world, but also feels very close by. Like, Effie wrote it. And, I know Fatoni. I know Jakob Schreier a little bit. It's being directed by a good friend. It's being DP'd, like filmed by her husband, Robbie, which is also a very close friend. And it just feels very, you know, local and cool, but also like with several, you know, outstretched limbs, like squid arms into different sort of cool worlds. Like, you know, you have... I don't know how else. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it feels local and cool and approachable, but also, like, is a big deal connected to, like, the bigger industry people. So that's awesome. And there is, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a place that they have to spend some time in the film. And in this place, I am playing, it's like, if I say that I'm spending time in a place and I'm a nurse, you're going to think, oh, why didn't he just say he's at a hospital? It's not. I'm just a nurse in this place. If I say the place, it kind of gives away like part of the story. That's why I don't want to say it. But in this place, the characters all kind of go to now and then. I play a nurse, and there's some cool little like background fun things. You know, I've done some extra work before, but there is a bigger moment later in the film where I get some pretty proper screen time. I don't know how much they're going to cut it down, but I can tell you that it is really goofy, really over the top, and I just went for it. It was very uncomfortable, but then, you know, basically, for those who've never worked on any projects like this before, you're gonna swing for whatever kind of performance you wanna do. I mean, depending on what the director wants, obviously, but I was given complete freedom to do my thing in this particular scene, and I swung really big, and it's fun to do that because I feel that I struggle most in subtlety. Oh, you, Jordan? Never. Yeah, surprise. Keeping it all kind of low key and like micro expressed it's tougher. It's more real and grounded and naturalist. And, you know, someone like Daniel Day-Lewis or Florence Pugh, can probably pull that off a little better. I'm more of your Robin Williams, Jim Carrey type. So sue me. And I swung big. But for those who've never worked on projects before, you're going to do it like 7 times. So I do feel that in the end, like they told me, okay, so I did the first take of this thing, and it's a big, bold thing. And I felt good about it. I swung big because I felt more comfortable, like just being extra me. And then when they yelled cut, I instinctively said, one take wonder. Kind of in the joke of like, I don't have to do that again, right? But it came off a bit like as if I was super, super extra proud. Even though I did feel good about it. But I was just like, one take wonder, huh? And then they all said yes. And then I was like, oh, wow. I've been on set for hours. And I'm done. It was 3 minutes. I thought, wow, okay, well, that's how it is sometimes. But then, and it was really awkward because, you know, it's weird being filmed because I mean, this sounds so stupid and cliche, but it's like it's so unnatural. It's so deeply unnatural to be filmed. Like, you know, in the frame that I'm in, there is myself and one other person. And there's almost nothing in the background. There's a building, maybe some extras in the far distance. But it's basically you just have a picture frame of me and this other person. What you don't see is the like 50 people behind that camera. There's the director, the DP, there's all the crew. There's like big light structures and big diffusers, and there's people holding cables, and there's all the makeup people and the costume people. And it's just so distracting and it's just a very unnatural place. And you have to suddenly like really, really put yourself in a headspace where it is normal and there aren't a bunch of people just standing there watching you. But it's a, but you know, once you kind of get into it, for me, it's about where to look. Don't look at the camera. Duh. They did have to tell some people to stop doing that in this one like party scene. But they weren't like actors. I think it was more, I don't know. It was just some people that I think that was their first thing ever. And they were older. Like in my position, that's not the issue, like to not look at the camera unless it's just a complete, like kind of chaotic thing and you just accidentally catch a glimpse. If it's a stationary thing, it's pretty easy not to look. But getting into like a natural-ish state in this very unnatural world that's built around you, for me, what's helpful is like, yeah, where to look. So what I mean by that is I'll find like the collar of someone's shirt and sort of stick with that. I remember vividly there was one man wearing a plaid shirt and I looked at his back and kind of like performed to his shoulder blade. And then there was a woman who had a tan skirt or tan pants or something. And she was turned in a way where I saw her hip. So I would kind of move my eyes a bit. Like there were people who, if I looked at them, they were all looking at my eyes because obviously there's, you know, a performance going on and the humanity is in the eyes. But I get taken out of these moments if I, you know, look at someone's eyes who's not acting with me. It's different when... I have one moment where the lead actress asks my character a question, and that's different because you know, okay, you're playing it with someone, you're supposed to look them in the eyes. But if I'm doing something that kind of on my own, like in this big scene I'm talking about, which I hope they keep a lot of because it was really fun, if I were to look and catch someone's eyes, I suddenly see Jordan and I see this other person and I don't see like myself in this character anymore. So yeah, I was like looking at people's shirts and pants and shoes and stuff. But yeah, I got to do 2 days. I did 2 days on set and it's just really cool. It's nice to be back on a set. It's nice to see like the flow and the machinery of it. It's really cool. And I got you know, some nice compliments about the work, and I felt really happy and thankful to be a part of it. And, you know, a lot of the people, like, I had worked with them before, and some of them are, you know, old friends and stuff too. So it was also very, it was all very relaxed. And, yeah, I don't know if they have a tentative release date for this yet. Let me see if there is, let's see what this site says here. Oh no, it's the same. Okay, it's the same press release. Huh. Okay. Okay, but that's cool. So the press is out for this movie. So that's cool. It's coming. It's gonna get more and more attention as time goes on, because they're still filming. So it'll be next year when we can see it. But yeah, Not Your Daddy. Very, very cool. Then moving on, shall we? I got some really cool new shows set up. So again, reminder, Cologne Comedy Festival, October 23rd. Let's see, I'm just writing something down here. I'm really bad at multitasking. The 23rd of October in Cologne. And I don't know, can I announce it already? Let me see here. There's like a few things that I can say. So what I will say is the 2027, like, major, you know, Jordan Prince comedy tour. I'm writing something else down that I can't forget for later. Yes, sorry. So the official, like, next big tour is penciled in, pretty much locked, for spring. But there are shows that are going to be happening in October. They're all in October, which is bananas. That's bananas to me, okay? It's pretty bananas that they're all in October. But you've got to go if you can go. Going to have a lot of specialty comedy for these shows because they're tailored to where I'm going to be. And they might have some crossover with some stories for the major tour, but because it's a smaller subset of audience that will be at the October shows, that's a good place for me to also sort of work out which things I might boot and, like, replace for the main tour for spring. So in October, the first few days of October, I don't really know if I'm supposed to say this, because you can't really, like, get tickets. I don't think so. I don't even know, but I'm such a good promoter. I don't even know if I can announce this. I don't even know if you can go. but it's a performance contract with four American military bases right here in Germany. So I will be at Kaiserslautern, Wiesbaden, Baumholder, and Gemeinschaftszentrum Bahnheim via Atlantic Academy. Sounds cool. I will be performing there in the first week of October, these places. Then on the 14th of October, and now this is a really special one for me. On the 14th of October, I will be in Budapest. Oh, let's do a quick things to know about Budapest. Let's do it. Budapest is formed by two sides, Buda and Pest. That's not trying very hard at all, guys. Divided by the Danube River, famous as the thermal bath capital of the world. I didn't know that. That's going to go into the set. I'm just putting Buda. I'm writing down Budapest research. God. Fascinating entertainment here, Jordan. So let's take a little look here. October 14th, I will be performing in Budapest, which I'm very, 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 very excited about. The venue is called the Mix At. Let me take a look here. The Mix At. I don't know. Looks pretty cool. Looks pretty chill. Yeah, so Mix At. Yeah, so if you're going to be in Budapest, if you live there, if anyone listening to this is hungry for more, please don't unfollow me. Okay, I need your support. Just subscribe and like, just follow me on social media. You know, like, it's free to do and it just supports me a lot. You know, just go to Instagram and it's Jordan Prince and just hit follow, and you can mute it. You don't even have to be a part of this. Just like, just don't unfollow me because of these bad jokes. I promise I won't make the bad jokes anymore. Gonna go to Budapest in Hungary on the 14th. And let's take a look at some things about Budapest. Besides that fascinating piece of history that it's Buda and Pest. And they were just like, how about Budapest, though? The hilly western side, Buda, holds the old Buda castle and fisherman's bastion. Oh, you didn't tell me there was a bastion, much less one for the fishermen. Well, while the flat eastern side, Pest, also that's funny for me, just that, you know, I don't know, if they were to like separate, like, you know, if they were to separate New Jersey and New York, if they were to combine those names as one place and they were like, yeah, this place is Jersey York, and one side has a castle and a bastion, and the other one we just call the Pests. Features the Hungarian Parliament building and the nightlife. Oh, all the Pests are in the nightlife. I like it. Top landmarks. Walk across the chain bridge, view the shoes on the Danube Bank Memorial. Okay. And visit Stephen's, as if it's a guy I know. Saint Stephen's Basilica. Ooh, currency. Okay, they don't use euros. Interesting. Use Hungarian forint. Instead of euros for better rates, and avoid independent Euronet ATMs. Yeah, dude, don't use Euronet ATMs. I mean, if you have to, you have to. But man, they're a scam. Man, those high surcharge fees are ridiculous. Getting around, public transit is fast, cheap, and digital ticketing is available via mobile apps. Okay, so they are just a city. Like, guys, we got buses, and like, there's apps. And like, yeah, if Munich has it, it shouldn't be listed as a promo for any other, you know, major city, because Munich is usually the last place to progress or update their technology. Airport express bus. They have a fact about their airport express bus. Why? Anyway, thermal baths, famous spas like the, oh, this is going to be tough for me to pronounce. Shit. Seshenyi baths cost around 7,000 to 12,000 HUFs. I don't know. Why? You know, when like a different country has different currency, and but you have the inflation, so it doesn't like in my mind, does it not feel weird? Like, if the, let's say 12,000 HUFs. Hungarian forints. Let's say if that is like 50 euros or 100 euros, doesn't it feel strange in your head to be like, I'll go to this spa for 12,000 forints? It's interesting to me, but I guess that's just how it is. Here we go. 21 things to know before visiting Budapest. I wonder how much of this is going to resonate with me. Pack comfortable walking shoes, but not sneakers. Huh. Since Budapest is a highly walkable city, you're going to be on your feet all day. Pack shoes that you'd be comfortable wearing for hours, while keeping in mind that sneakers will likely single you out as a tourist. So wait, comfortable shoes but not sneakers. So, like, loafers? I feel like that would be even more touristy. Like, people don't wear sneakers? I mean, I think this seems targeted for Americans. Bring an umbrella. It's a good idea to bring an umbrella to Budapest, even in the summer. The city can experience sudden heavy downpours, especially in the warmer months. Or, hey, buy one there. Bring forints, not euros. Yeah, okay. Though Hungary uses the forint as its currency, some hotels, restaurants, and shops will accept euros, giving change back in forints. That sucks. That sucks. I've done that before. I've been in places, I'm trying to think of like in Switzerland or something, where you can give euros at some place and they give you the change back that you'll just never use again. I have like, I don't know, 50 somethings, Swiss francs? I forget. Of Swiss notes and like coins that from, it just, it's like, I have Canadian money. I think I have something from China too. I don't even know. I've never even been to Canada or China, but somehow I have money from these places. Since establishments can be reluctant to accept large bills, like a 20,000 forint note, withdraw smaller bills from ATMs when possible. Yeah, sorry, big shoppers, don't take out the 20,000 note. Avoid your, dang, it's in another website. Avoid the Euronet ATMs. You'll see Euronets all around, especially in bars, but they charge exorbitant bank fees. The convenience is not worth the cost. So just don't eat. Pack for the pool. Soaking in Budapest's thermal baths is one of the city's most treasured experiences. So pack your stuff for swimming, including a pair of flip-flops or pool sandals and a beach towel. People know how to pack for the pool. Good Lord. You can rent a towel if you prefer not to bulk out your bags, but be prepared to pay as much, as 14 USD. I knew they were targeting Americans here. 5,000 forints is $14. Doesn't that sound like, I mean, that's just an insane number. Yes, one towel, please. Oh, what is it? 5,000 forints? Book tickets in advance for popular museums. And I don't have to worry about that one. Number 7, download taxi and transport apps. Why is that in the things to know? That should just, my God, people, it's 2026. Everything has an app. Just, why is that in the things to know for Budapest? That's not specific to Budapest. Oh, here we go. Never hail a taxi. Flagging taxis on the street is risky because some rogue operators rip visitors off by driving around the city or using other tricks. What? This has been happening less and less in recent years, but it's still better to call a cab or use an app to order one. Well, first off, who's hailing taxis in 2026? Maybe like New York or London. I don't know. I don't know anyone who doesn't use a phone for just about anything. I mean, my mom has an app for Sonic, like the Sonic fast food restaurant. Like, I have one for McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean? Don't flag. I think you don't have to worry about people flagging a taxi. Maybe it's pretty common there. I don't know. But wow, sure. The image of this tram, though, in the city looks gorgeous. But wow, that's so funny imagining someone being like, just in a car and just being like, I got you now. And you drive around for 2.5 hours. Validate your public transport ticket. Okay, but why is this in the things to know in Budapest? Don't hail taxi because it might be bad guy. Drive around long time, charge a lot of money. Validate your ticket because that's not, if it's not stamped, it doesn't count. I don't know what a Budapest accent sounds like, and I don't care to speculate what accent I thought I was doing. Oh my God. Number 10 is learn how to board the bus. How fucking stupid. Learn how to board the bus. How slow do you think are the tourists in Budapest this dumb? I mean, this is clearly targeted to a specific demographic here. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's dumb tourists in every city in the world, and I've been a dumb tourist. Like, excuse me, sir. But I mean, learn how to get on a bus. Where do you think we're going here? Most of the time, you can get on a bus in Budapest through any door. There's no need to show your ticket to the driver. If you have a single ticket, you can validate it. If you notice a bus that opens its front door only to boarding passengers, get in line and have your ticket ready. Yeah, that's how getting on a bus works everywhere. Like, you didn't have to show a ticket as a child on the school bus, but normally if a door opens at a bus stop and the open door is on a bus, you wait for people to get off, and then you get in the bus. My God, that's on things to know before traveling specifically to Budapest. Learn how to get on a bus. After midnight, take a taxi back to your accommodations. Budapest city center, especially District 7, is fairly nocturnal. And this sounds like written by someone who's never been invited to a party.
District 7 is fairly nocturnal.
And the central districts inside the Grand Boulevard are safe after midnight. But if you're staying in Budapest's outer neighborhoods, such as Districts 8 or 9, District 9, is that where they keep the aliens? Beyond the Grand Boulevard, it's safest to take a taxi to your accommodations if you're having a late night. Okay, so just literally any city, again, like any city, if you live on the outskirts, you're going to take a cab anyway. Unless you live there, then you might know your way around. Learn, this is also funny, learn a few words in Hungarian before arriving. Again, that's such a personal preference. This is clearly written by someone who's from there, like looking outward at Americans. But this is like, you know, you're either going to be the person who comes to Germany and learns like bitte and danke, or like, wo ist die Toilette? You're going to either do that or you're not. I mean, you just, it's a strange thing. Knowing how to say please and thank you in Hungarian goes a long way with the locals. Before your trip, buy a phrase book and learn, oh my God. Before your trip, buy a phrase book and learn the basics of this idiosyncratic language. I'm good. I got Google Translate on my phone. One very important tip, make sure you get the accent right on the E. Okay. So this term would be egg is shig edre. And don't accidentally say egg es sheg edre. The first means to your health, and the other is to your whole ass. Well, you shouldn't have told me that, because now I'm going to be saying egg es sheg edre to your whole ass, baby. Bottoms up! In more ways than one. In Budapest. Oh no, all those guys, they wanted to get on a bus, but they walked into the tires. Oh, why didn't they read the list first? Sorry guys, to your whole ass. To your asshole. Wearing a swimming cap in the bathhouse pools. You can enter the swimming pools at the thermal baths only if you're wearing a swimming cap. Oh, okay. See, now that's interesting. It's a mandatory rule that you must wear a swimming cap? I did not know that. Many bathhouses sell swimming caps at the ticket office for 2,000 forints. This rule does not apply to the thermal baths themselves, only to the on-site swimming pools. So, tipping at restaurants. Let's see where they go with this one. Some restaurants include a service charge on the bill. So again, literally any city. So it's a good idea to ask if this is included when paying. I like how they say it usually appears on the bill as service. It's spelled a little different, but you immediately look this, you're like, oh, service. Oh, service. Yeah, service charge. Boom. If not, it's customary to tip around 10%. Okay, so same as Germany. Hungarians often round up the bill and tell the server how much they want to pay. Oh, Hungarians, like the customers, often round the bill up and tell the server. Yes. Okay. Again, I understand. This is written for someone who's like, I've never left my barn, and the only place I'm going to go is Budapest, Hungary. Now, you tell me what I got to do. Do these people talk? Do they eat food? How do they ride the buses? Do I have to take a bus everywhere there? I've never done that before. Do they have to get in through the engine? Did they validate tickets here? If you give a banknote that's more than your bill and say thank you, your server will likely see this as an invitation to keep the change. That's true. That's good to know, but it's not specific to Hungary. This is an interesting one. So this next one is very opposite of Germany. So this is where it gets unique to Hungary, is where it gets interesting. Hungarians don't say cheers with beers, or at least they haven't for the past 150 years. Did you mean for that to rhyme, Mrs. Jennifer Walker? Wait, Jennifer Walker, she's an American. I'm an Anglo-Hungarian ex-nuclear physicist turned freelance writer who has lived and worked in the UK, Germany, Spain, Georgia, India, and Hungary. I mostly write about Budapest and Vienna, including chapters in Lonely Planets, Secret City, and Around the World in 80 Food Trucks. Around the World in 80 Food Trucks. I am the co-editor of Panel Magazine. When I'm not writing, reading, or attempting to teach my cat chess, you might find me in a ridiculous fancy costume out on the town with the Budapest Surrealist Society. Jennifer Walker, you're trying too hard. Just be yourself. And if you didn't plan on saying cheers with beers 50 years, if you didn't mean to rhyme and you did rhyme, shame. If this is a choice, I salute you. Hungarians don't say cheers with beers, or at least they haven't for the past 150 years. When Austria's Habsburgs defeated Hungary in the 1848 revolution, who can forget? Who can forget? Austrians in Vienna celebrated the defeat by toasting and clinking Biersteins. Oh, so this is a petty protest? As a form of subtle protest, Hungarians vowed never to do the same, and they haven't raised their beer glasses since. They don't cheers because in 1848, Austrians defeated Hungary in a revolution? Bro, that's petty. That's really petty. I mean, things become tradition in the weirdest ways, right? I mean, Germany's with their beer clinking. That's a whole different thing. The eye contact, it's aggressive. Please stop. It's like you're putting your penis in my eyeball. Stop it. Just relax. Just say cheers and look down at the table. It's like, just relax. But this is the opposite. This is such a funny, petty protest. Hungarians vowed to never do the same, and they haven't done it since. You might notice some of the younger crowd foregoing this rule. So if you're in the company of Hungarians with beer, follow their lead, or you'll be murdered. Note that this rule doesn't apply to drinks like wine or palinka, a local fruit brandy. Hungarians even consider it rude. What? Hungarians even consider it rude not to look the other person in the eyes and say cheers when raising a glass of anything other than beer. So it's literally just a petty rule of beer. If someone has a wine glass, they're like looking in the eyes. Cheers. Hope you enjoy it. How's it taste? Oh, delicious. But if you have a beer, they're like, if you raise that glass, you're dead to me, Toby. I like this one. Greet staff when you enter a shop. This is just how to be person when walk round. So when go to city, big bus, big car, stop, you get on door. Door open, go through door. Door not open, door not work. Can't go on bus. You go to store, see person, use mouth, go high. Yeah, that's not specific to Hungary, my friends. When you go into a smaller shop, it's polite to say, Jonapot. Jonapo? Jonapot? I'll find out. I'll find out because I have a phone. Okay, Jennifer. Number 17, don't smile too much. Guys, I'm starting to think this is rage bait. They're tourists. They're not like, you're not going there to, you're not Jason Bourne. You're not going to Budapest to blend into society. You know, to like sneak around and figure out who kidnapped the mayor's daughter or something like that. Don't get caught. Don't get busted. You know, Mission Impossible shit. This is, don't smile too much because Hungarians don't. They're not the smiliest people. And smiling at strangers or while out and about is much less prevalent in Hungarian culture than it is, let's say, in the United States. I told you this was targeted. Walking around with your big smile. Oh, I love this. Walking around with a big smile on your face all the time. As if, like... Couldn't you? Hungarians, like, they'll know you're a tourist. That's okay. Imagine you look up at this gorgeous castle, or you're realizing how clever it is to name these places Buddha and Pest as one word, and it puts a smile on your face. This is saying, like, don't put your big dumb smile on your face, because it'll make it clear to the locals that you're not one of them, and they don't like you. She didn't say that last part, but it is specifying, like, it'll probably make it clear to the locals that you're not one of them. What are you doing? Walking around in sneakers? Walking into the bus from the bottom? Did you nose plant into the window of the side of the bus wearing sneakers without your umbrella? Well, just make sure you don't smile, because then they'll know you're not a local. There's no harm in smiling, but it might attract a tout trying to sell you a bus tour. Dude, this is rule number one of traveling anywhere. You gotta get the no gun out and have it locked and loaded. Public carry, okay? No conceal to carry. Open carry, no gun. You gotta have that shit like cocked back, loose trigger finger. You know, excuse me, no. Hey, I just want no. I have literally put my hands up and danced out of a may I have a, can I talk to you about a, excuse me, sir, do you have a second to, no, get away now. I don't want to talk to you about Jesus. I don't want you to have my money. I don't want to be on the sidewalk with you anymore. Now please go and fuck off. That went on way too long. Take precautions with your belongings. So, again, going to a city or just anywhere that's not your house. Keep your wallet on you. And watch out for the... Okay, here we go. Watch out for the Budapest bar scam. Now let's see what this is all about. Unfortunately, one of the main risks in visiting Budapest is getting ripped off. There's one recurring scam. That's as old as time. Male travelers, moi, will often be approached by attractive, friendly young women who invite them to a bar. I would already know it's a scam. If you're too dumb to get if you get like Margot Robbie coming up to you to be like, hi, you're not from around here, right? She doesn't sound like that. It's like Sydney Sweeney, like, hi, you're not from around here, right? That's not even that far off from her voice. Hi, you're not from around here, right? Actually, it's very far. Wow, I really like your jacket. You want to come inside and have a drink with me? That's not a bad Sydney Sweeney. She has a kind of a deeper voice. You want to come inside and have a drink? I would immediately be like, no, devil woman, be gone from me. I am but a eunuch, a shaved, pale Ken doll of a man. I am nothing to you. My money is held up in Bitcoin investments. Once inside, the men get presented with a huge bill, along with threats of calling the police if they don't pay. Ooh! The main moral of the story, ? Try to resist tagging along with any women who approach you. or at least avoid any bar they suggest. That's funny. Imagine the one time this little ugly duckling girl finally discovers herself, turns into like the swan, gets her confidence up after a long, arduous coming-of-age journey of self-discovery, and then she goes out and says, I am gonna ask that boy out. And then she walks up like, hi, I couldn't help but notice, no, bitch, you're gonna steal my money? Black has a whistle. We got a pickpocket over here. She's like, what the hell is going on? Anyway, that's what would happen with me. Let's wrap this up. There's two more. Be aware of recent LGBTQ+ laws. Hungary is earning a bad reputation with LGBTIQ+ travelers because of laws that have been enacted over the last few years, such as one making it impossible for trans people to legally change their gender. Whoa, I didn't know that. Another, the so-called anti-pedophile bill, draws lamentable parallel. Okay, this is some, all of a sudden, some quite complicated words here. Another law, the so-called anti-pedophile bill, draws lamentable parallels between pedophilia and homosexuality and bans LGBTIQ+ representation in media available to people under 18. What? Oh my God. Okay, I didn't know it was all like that, Hungary. The good news is that Budapest is more liberal, especially if you stay around downtown. A vibrant population of progressive activists keeps up the fight for LGBTIQ+ rights in Hungary, and pride gets bigger every year. Okay, that's good. Kind of makes me think a little bit of like New Orleans, like all the outskirts areas of New Orleans are very, you know, red state coded. It's very conservative, Republican, far right, sort of, you know, anti-progressive. And not everyone, but it votes that way. The state votes that way. And then you have New Orleans, which is just this blue ink dot of like, you know, Yeah, vibrant, progressive activism. So, last but not least, know how to get medical help if needed. Okay, see, now finally she's wrapping up things like, yeah, how would I get medical help in Hungary? Tell me. For peace of mind, it's a good idea to get insurance before traveling. Yeah, you disappointed me, Jennifer. The Hungarian public health system is often understaffed, and it can be hard to find English-speaking doctors or nurses in public hospitals and clinics. Popular private clinics include First Med and Swiss Clinic. If you need a pharmacy, you'll find them all across the city center with a few that are open 24/7. So basically, and like, it doesn't tell you how to get medical help at all. It just says there's some pharmacies around. Good luck finding a doctor who understands you. There's not going to be enough people around, and you're going to probably like get some insurance before you even go there. Literally told me nothing about how to get the medical help. You know why? Because it would say Google Hospital. Or here's a simple rule. It's probably the same there as it is here. I would bet. I'm going to look it up right now before I tell you what I'm thinking. Knew it. Here you go, Jennifer. Guys, if you go to Budapest and you need medical attention, emergency medical attention, you know what you do? The same thing you do everywhere else. Especially in Europe, what Americans would know as call 911, because 9/11, you know, never forget. In Europe, it's 112. And I used to work at this elementary school and we used to teach the kids, you know, like index finger on the left hand, index finger on the right hand. And you go, one, one. And you like hit your hands together, like the palms. And it's two. One, one, two. One, one, two. So that's how you get medical attention. Not just a,
yeah. Oh, you want to know how to get help for, you need medical attention? Yeah, well, first off, be insured before you even think about getting tickets, okay? Don't wear any sneakers. Don't walk into the closed door of a parked bus. Don't forget an umbrella. Don't be an idiot, you know. Make sure to bring flip-flops for the bathhouses. And if you do find a doctor somewhere, I don't really know how. Good luck. I mean, they don't speak any English. There's only going to be two people for a hospital with 1,000 patients. And yeah, there's a pharmacy somewhere. You'll find them. Yeah. Good luck, chief. Good luck, sport. And don't smile too much. We don't like that over here. What is that, beer? Don't look at me. What is that, sangria? You didn't cheers me? Go to hell.
It's going to be fun. I'll be in Budapest October 14th at the Mixat location, and tickets will be available for that very, very soon. And yeah, the military shows and the Cologne Comedy Festival once again. So I'll wrap up with that. Make sure to go to the show notes if you are looking for, you or someone you know needs help with alcoholism. Be sure to click on that alcoholicsanonymous.eu link in the show notes. Get the help you need today. Don't wait. Get your tickets to the Cologne Comedy Festival. I'll be there. Simon Pierce will be there. You can check out my specials for free on my YouTube. If you're not already following me or subscribing to this podcast or to my YouTube or my Instagram or TikTok, please roll some dice, pick one of them and do that, because it really helps a lot more than you would think. I know it's the thing everyone always says, oh, please subscribe and like, you know, whatever. But it really does help. If you like or share, it just helps me continue to do this. And it's free to do. There's no better time to do it than right now. If you've already gotten this far in the show, then you obviously don't hate what you're listening to, unless your phone got stuck like somewhere unreachable and you'd rather listen to this than be alone with your thoughts, which I get that too. Guys, I love you so much. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you had a lot of fun, and I will be back hopefully next week. So, bye. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.